Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening.
And you're listening.
You're listening.
You're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 154. I am Shannon and we got the original crew here. I got Pete here today.
Hey, Shannon. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
I know. Merry Christmas. Now, we weren't sure if we were going to get up another episode before Christmas, but there was enough, you know, few stories. And there was some stuff that came out of the condo association meeting, actually probably more than we expected.
Yeah, because usually it's very little. And there was actually more interesting stuff that came out than I'm used to.
Yeah. And then obviously we're recording this on the 19th. So the new Poly Tower opened two nights ago. So I don't know when this will get up. So we have some news from that. I mean, the pictures look beautiful, but we'll get into that. But before we do, let's give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is DVC Resale Market. So if you are looking to maybe purchase a resale contract, definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. They have all their contracts that are up for sale on their website. They also have a really great information on, it's like DVC 101 to learn about use years and points and all that good stuff that you probably don't know if you are new to DVC. That's what I did. When I was first researching, I went to their website and their blog and they have some really great information. Or maybe you are looking to sell your contract for whatever reason. Maybe you are trying to buy at the new Poly Tower and you want to sell your existing contract. Then you can definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market and they will take care of all your DVC needs. We will go ahead and get started. And the first, this didn't affect either one of us. We talked about this, but I know a lot of people in our My DVC Points community, if this affected a lot of people. So DVC removed the ability to pay dues monthly with a gift card. So DVC has removed from the system the option to enroll in monthly dues payment and still use a gift card to pay for your dues. Previous years, you could enroll in a monthly auto pay and then pay your dues each month with a gift card just ahead of the deduction of the payment. Now DVC has indicated that this will no longer be an option. In a statement, DVC has shared the following. While you are enrolled in auto pay for annual dues, Disney gift cards and Disney Rewards redemption cards are not acceptable forms of payment. Per our terms and conditions, to make a payment with a gift card or rewards card, please first unenroll by selecting My Annual Dues, Manage Auto Pay, Cancel Auto Pay, and then after making your payment, please re-enroll in auto pay by February 14th for any remaining balance due. If you are not re-enrolled in auto pay by February 14th, any outstanding annual dues balance will be considered past due on February 15th, subject to late fees and interest and are due in full. If you removed auto pay to pay in full, please remember to re-enroll if you want to continue with automatic payments for future years. It always seemed a lot of work for me, and I was always afraid to forget. Do you do auto pay or do you pay up front?
I do auto pay just because I was looking, it's like $4,000 now that I'm paying. Yeah, no, I do monthly, but I never did this. Yeah, you would have to unenroll, pay with your gift card, and then re-enroll every month. And to me, it was just, I could have saved a couple percent, I guess, but it, as you said, it was remembering to do it each month and then doing it the right way and making sure you sign back up. And it just never seemed like worth the
right. The return on investment hassle. Wasn't that worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so one of the reports that I've heard, now obviously I don't know this firsthand, but that if you do this option, let's say you unenroll, you pay a portion of it with the gift card, and then you re-enroll for the rest of the payment, it doesn't recalculate your monthly payment. So let's say your monthly payments are, let's do it easy. Your yearly amount is $1,200. So your monthly payment is $100 a month. If you pay $600, it's not going to recalculate them to be $50 a month. It's going to just skip a few months and then your next payment will be $100. That's the reports that a couple of people that did do this, that it just skips the first couple of months and then it will resume at the regular amount. So I can't speak at that firsthand, but that is what some other people were reporting. So if you do that, just FYI.
So we're not sure right now if you can do it once, like mm-hmm. get out of auto pay, pay a portion with the gift card, and then go back into auto pay, and then it'll continue for the rest of the year still. Or if when you, as soon as you come out of auto pay and go back in, it means that now you have to pay everything by February 15th. And that's what this quote we clipped makes it sound mm-hmm. like, but we don't know for sure if that's what's going to happen. But 100%, you won't be able to like go in, come out every month.
Right. You know? Yeah. Because you have to be enrolled in auto pay by February 14th to be enrolled for the remainder of the year. Yeah. That's how I read it. Yeah. If you do this, just be aware and then report back in our My DVC Points community of what your experience was.
Yeah. They're already talking about it on there.
Yep. Yep. You can just add your feedback.
On the condo association meetings, there was lots of good info came out, and we want to have a special shout out to DVCnews.com, who had people at several of the condo association meetings. And so most of this information comes from their articles on that site. So that's DVCnews.com. So for Copper Creek, they announced there's going to be a soft goods refresh, which is expected to start late spring 2025. So I don't know. I think of late spring as like May, right? Mm-hmm. And the changes include new color palette, more Disney IP, which I assume means like more character art, new artwork, new fabrics, and more. They're going to take 12 to 16 rooms out at a time. Project is expected to take just under 12 months. And they did not mention if they're going to install the Murphy beds, but they're kind of doing that everywhere. So it would surprise me if they're not.
I would say no, just because it's a soft goods. That's what I'm thinking.
But they've been even doing it as part of most of the soft goods refurbs have also had it. Cause that's what, that's what Boardwalk. No, wait.
Boardwalk
was a hard goods. You're right. Yeah. Vero Beach, I know, was a soft goods, and they put them in the villas there. Obviously the hotel rooms there still have two beds, but good news there. And that's pretty much about what you would expect. I think that resort opened in like 2017 or something like that.
Yeah. It feels like yesterday. Cause I remember that was the first one that opened when I was a member.
Yeah. Mine was Polly, I think, was the first one. Okay. I've been a member a little longer. And then Bay Lake Tower, we've been talking about the refurb there, but they announced that they're actually going to do it in basically in like four stages. So like they're going to take out four different sets of rooms. The current set of rooms was expected to open, they said, in a few weeks. So there will be refurbed rooms available fairly shortly, but I don't know how, it won't be very easy to get them because it'll only be a small percentage of the resort. All the rooms are going to get the Murphy style bed, which I guess not surprising, but a little surprising in that they're going to fit them in the studios because those studios are pretty small.
I think if any room needs them are those studios at Bay Lake Tower.
True. Yeah.
Because those studios, because of that little dinette set or dinette area.
Yeah.
It takes away the square footage of the actual room portion. Mm-hmm. And it's very congested. So I think if anywhere needs it, it's those studios.
Yep. Because they did mention that the studios aren't going to change in design. So it's still going to have that galley kitchen. So very small. Yeah,
I didn't expect that to change.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that would be a lot to change.
Yeah, because this is a hard good. No,
this is a hard good, I think.
Is it? I'm not sure. But anyways, there's going to be a twin sleeper added to the one and two bedrooms to add the ability to have another person sleep there, but not to the studios. So the twin sleeper is that little fold down, right? Mm-hmm. Bed. So they're not putting those in the studios. And again, I don't think that's surprising because of the size of the studios. I think you wouldn't have space to walk if they put those in the studios.
And those rooms, I don't think five people in those rooms it's just, they're too small. They're way too small to put five people.
Yeah.
I mean, people would do it, but no.
Yeah. I mean, we've done it with three and it's cramped for three.
It is cramped for three. We've only done one nights there usually when we're attending a party, and we can do it for that, but I wouldn't do longer than that. But I think with the Murphy bed, I think that could really change the game where we could do it for short trips. Where it would make it more comfortable. But
it's so small. I don't understand why they decided to do, when did that open? 2010 or something like that? 2011?
I want to say 2007 because it's 14, isn't it 14 years for our hard goods? Well, so yeah, true. 2010. Yeah. So 2000, yeah, 2024. Yeah. So 2010.
Yeah. So it really is, it's surprising because they were well into DVC and they decided, oh, let's make the studio smaller and the one bedrooms bigger, and the one bedrooms are fantastic there.
Yeah.
But the studios are just so small. So unfortunately, they're not redesigning the rooms in any way. I was kind of hoping they were going to get rid of the galley kitchen or at least the divider for the galley kitchen and mm-hmm. make it more like what they're doing in the Poly Tower where they still have a galley kitchen, but it faces the rest of the room. But nope, doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
Less significant. They are going to be adding USB ports to the rooms. So that's very nice. Necessary. The SkyBridge will be closing in January of 2025. We knew it was going to be, but they didn't say when. So now we know it's going to be January 2025. And you'll have to go to the ground floor to walk over to the Contemporary. It's a bit of an inconvenience for people staying there for sure. They did not give an end date to that, but you know, based on this, they're doing it in four stages, probably going to be closed 3 to 4 months would be my guess, but we'll see. We don't have a reopening date. Next up is hard goods refurb for Animal Kingdom Villas is scheduled to start in October of 2025. And they're going to start with Kidani. The other news there is they're also going to refresh the lobby in Kidani as well as the community hall. And then that's expected to last about 9 months for them to finish Kidani. And that'll be interesting because the hall, because it's basically like two long hallways, right? So I wonder if they'll have to go by floor rather than section, because like you can't close the middle of a hallway, right?
Yeah.
We'll see how they end up doing that, but they're saying that's going to last about 9 months, and then the rooms in Jumbo would be done after that. So you're looking at Jumbo not going till mid to late 2026. Also, a few other refreshes. Grand Cal Hard Goods finally expected to start in 2025. They're like 2 or 3 years behind on that, and everybody says that the Grand Cal's in kind of rough shape. That's good news. Treehouse Villas also are going to hit in 2025.
Those are overdue.
Yeah, so we think in the summer there. And then Old Key West is on deck for 2026.
And that's got to be a soft goods, right?
I believe it's a soft goods. They did the hard goods not that long ago.
The only thing I would say with Old Key West, I love Old Key West and I actually love what they did with it. Just change the blinds. The blinds are awful. They're awful.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. It's probably not on the list, but if anybody listens, please change the blinds. It's the only thing. It's my only con for Old Key West.
But. Wow. Yeah. That's not the worst thing to be bad. Yeah, though, right?
But it's their pain. They're a pain in the butt. Yeah. They're a pain in the butt. Yeah.
This is the most interesting thing. DVC News is the one that posted this. So I got to give them credit. The board members actually talked about a couple of things that have been brought up by a lot of members. One about the commercial renting of points, and I'm going to butcher this name, but it's Shannon Sakoski, VP of the Member Experiences and Club Management, said there's two types of renting that members do. One that you alluded to, which is I'm not going to use my points this year. They're going to expire and I want to get some money to offset my dues. That's allowed within our rules. We allow members the flexibility to rent. The other category is someone who is doing it commercially. They own a lot of points and it's a frequent occurrence. We are actively figuring out ways to go after that and stop that to the best of our ability. Hopefully this is not a conversation we'll be having in future years. We're going to go after that and try to remedy it as best we can. And then Senior VP and GM Bill Dirkison confirmed that DVC has added resources to our core team at DVC in order to pursue this and make sure that it is fair to everyday members. And Yvonne Chang, Executive Director of Business Operations, said, we've got a whole team of folks focused on this. Hopefully by next year, we will have this conversation. We will see some improvement. And then Sakoski was even more direct in a later session. It says, You just can't do it commercially. That is against our rules. We are actively pursuing plans to go after those people and stop that behavior. Very strong wording from the board about commercial renting. And I think this is very good news for members.
I do too.
Because it probably wouldn't be a problem because it's probably not that big a portion of the points people, except that they target the hard to get reservations like the value rooms at Animal Kingdom and the standard rooms at Boardwalk and the standard rooms at Bay Lake Tower and things like that. The ones that the members also want to get because they're the lower points. And because of that, it makes it very difficult for members to get those reservations. The fact that these people target those, hopefully that means that, you know, those of us that are owners at some of these ones that are harder to get may see a change, that we'll see improvement and inability to be able to get the reservations that we want, that it won't be so hard as it is with some of these commercial renters out there. I mean, what do you think?
No, I think it's a great thing. And I would say if someone is doing it commercially and doing it and has a lot of points, they probably also have a system or have purchased some sort of bot to be able to get those reservations fairly quickly, like more than someone like myself. Like when you're booking for yourself and you're actively doing it, you're never going to beat a bot. And there are systems out there. I know of them. I know they exist, right? I don't know anything specifically, but I know they exist. I'm not saying everybody that does it, but I'm sure that a lot of them do have, because if you're trying to make this a business and get the most bang for your buck, then you are going to purchase the tools and invest in things that will get you the best reservations. And yeah, I'm sure that there's ways that they can figure out who is doing it and who is renting out the points, but it's also, they want to make sure, I'm sure they want to make sure they're doing it where they're not penalizing current owners. Like for, let's say, I don't have a trip planned. We don't have a trip planned in 2025. Right. Will we go? We probably will. But right now our points are set to expire July 31st. I think I have like 165 points left. I will probably just bank them. But if I wanted to rent them and maybe we joined Universal, we got the seasonal pass for Universal. Maybe for a couple of years, we rent our points out. We're not doing it commercially, but it's just a matter of we're offsetting. So it's not something like us. It's just that we're offsetting it for a short period of time, but we don't want to sell our points yet. But there are people that have, I've seen them, that they have like thousands of points.
Right. Yeah. To me, it's probably not that hard to figure this out. Because as you say, number one, it's not someone with 200 points. They're not doing it as a business because you don't make enough money on this to really make money unless you are renting several thousand points.
Right.
And if you are renting several thousand points, it should be easy to tell because you're never making reservations in your own name, right? Yep. So how hard should it be to tell? I mean, okay, let me scan through all the owners. Oh, here's someone who owns 4,000 points and they've used 200 of them in the last 3 years and they've rented out all the rest. Well, that's a commercial renter. I rent out points almost every year since I bought my second Animal Kingdom contract. Not every year, but a lot of years I've rented out some number of points. Usually it's only like 50 to 100 points. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not doing it commercially. They're not going to come after me. They said that right there. We're not looking to get these people. You know, they're not looking to get you, Shannon, because you're renting your 165 points
right,
2 or 3 years in a row. I think this is good news for the members. I really do. And they also talked about walking reservations, which is really the first time I've heard DVC themselves talk about it.
And I don't think they can change.
Well, I'm going to read what they said. And if the first one, the renting, sounded very strongly worded, this sounds very soft.
Right.
Kind of like what they're saying is, well, we wish we could do something about it, but I'm not sure we can, is more or less what they said. But anyways, so the board was asked about the practice of walking reservations. For those that don't know, walking involves booking a reservation weeks or months early and then adjusting the times on the resort tool to ensure that you get hard to get dates and or room categories. The board seemed less interested in resolving this issue as the focus seemed to be on not causing unintended consequences with any of the changes. So Sikorsky talking about this said, "We're aware of that dynamic and the impact that it can have on others who are waiting on the 11-month booking window. We set those rules, and it's something we could change if we find a better approach." Yvonne Chang added, "One of the responsibilities, obviously, as a board is always to listen to feedback and certainly to act on behalf of the membership as a whole, to make sure that whatever rules are changed are because of your input and because it benefits everyone. Everything that is done sometimes has unintended consequences." Steve Whittington, Director of Strategy and Development, said, "The members that are walking, they don't like to do that either. So we're looking at different solutions, as Yvonne mentioned. How do we maintain the spirit of what we want, which is fewer calls into the reservation center or going online to make the booking, but at the same time, make sure we aren't creating any unintended consequences?" So they both use the same phrase in their comments on that. So to me, that looks like, well, we'd like to solve it, but we don't have a solution right now. Because it used to be, and this was before either of us were owners, it used to be you could only book 11 months out, period. So in other words, today is December 19th. If I was going to stay November 19th of 2024 through November 26th or whatever, today the only date I could book was November 19th. And then I'd have to go tomorrow and I'd have to book November 20th. And then I'd have to go. And so that's how it used to be. And they got enough complaints about that, or they had enough issues with people calling and adding on days and things like that. That's why they changed it so that you can book days ahead. And that's what creates the ability to walk a reservation.
For a long time, you couldn't modify your reservation. You had to call in to modify.
To modify, right. Yeah. And that kind of slowed down walking as well. And actually, yeah, you and I were both members when you still had to do that. But they did allow you to book, you know, up to 7 days in advance. And then if you were staying longer than 7 days, then you'd have to call and add. They want to make it so there's less calls to the call center. That's what they care about. So when they're saying unintended consequences, they don't want to make it more difficult for members to book such that then they have to call the call center. They more care about limiting the number of people that have to call in than they are about stopping walking. I don't foresee anything happening in the near future. My theory has always been, well, what if you like limit the number of changes that you can do online? Instead of allowing infinite changes, you can only make 10 changes to your reservation. And then if you've changed your reservation 10 times, now you got to call in or something like that. Something that would not affect most members, but at a certain point, people that are walking for months. So, you know, there's people that are literally changing their reservation 20, 30 times in order to walk that reservation. And so that's the only thing I can think of that would potentially solve the problem without being disruptive. I don't know if you've thought of this at all.
I mean, I've heard of that one, which I think could work. But again, if you get to the point where then all you do is have people, once they get to the limit, they have to call in. Well, then they're just going to bog down the guest services. And I used to walk early on, you know, especially at that 7 month mark, I would walk, not so much to get like hard to get. Well, it was hard to get at 7 months, like, right. You know, not hard to get like the studios, the standard studios or the values. Cause I was never going to get those, but the resorts, let's say, like, I remember Boulder Ridge, we stayed there early on. I walked a reservation, but I walked it maybe 5 days. And that was when you had to call like every day and I had to change it. And then there was a couple other times where I did a walk, but it was like maybe 4 or 5 days. There are people that will do it for a month. I don't have that discipline, but you know, if somebody is willing to have that sort of discipline, God, yeah, I understand, but yeah, go ahead and do it. I think anything that they would do to try and change it to keep the walking, I think would just be probably detrimental to the convenience, because being able to make changes is really great. Has been really, really great.
You don't want to get rid of that because it is very handy to just be able to go on there. And especially things like at the 7 month mark, if I book at 11 months and then at 7 months, I want to change, I don't have to book a new reservation. I can just go in, modify to the new resort. Those are things that you could never do before. So you'd have to wait and call. And by the time you called, that other resort might have been gone.
Not only that, that's because I think also like the number didn't like open until like an hour after it opens online.
Right. No, it still does. It still does.
But I remember, was it maybe we were, I think January of 2023, we got Beach Club for a week in a studio, which was like fantastic. But it was like I got it at 7 months, but I checked at 7 months to see what I had. And I ended up booking somewhere else. I can't remember where we ended up booking, but I ended up booking somewhere else. And I was already booked and I just moved my reservation from Saratoga to another resort. Everything else was booked. About an hour later, I was just like, let me see if anything. And Beach Club had opened up. Like, and I had put in a wait list, but Beach Club had opened up. So I quickly went in and changed it. So I changed it twice, probably within less than 2 hours. So if they did, you know, I've heard that like, change, you know, limiting the amount of changes and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think anything, again, like that could have prevented me from able to getting that reservation.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is you can't just completely limit it because you do need to be able to make changes. So then that's why I said, well, maybe you'd have to limit it to a certain number of changes, but even there, what's that right number? I can tell from personal experience because I own two resorts that have big walking problems, one of them being Animal Kingdom Villas and the other being Boardwalk. And when I first bought at Animal Kingdom, you could generally get a value room if you went right on at 11 months, you went right on first thing in the morning, you could get a value room. There aren't a lot of them. They would go fast, but you could get it. Now it is impossible to even get in through the walkers. You can't even book at any time of year. It's also probably somewhat these commercial renters, I think, hurt as well, because they're probably the same group of people, maybe.
Right.
I have not been able to even get into a studio or a value studio in a long time. The one bedrooms you can sometimes get into, but the values, forget it. I mean, so we've stayed in a value 4 or 5 times since we've been owners there, but we haven't done it in like 4 or 5 years because we can't get in. And the same thing with Boardwalk, the Standard View. There's a lot of rooms in the Standard View. You can't even go on in 11 months and book anything there. I just put together a 8-night stay there by what I call it following the walkers, is that mm-hmm. you go like a day later and you start stocking and then you book one day at a time. It's like, oh, that day came up, I'll book that. And then as people walk by the dates, like 1 or 2 day blocks open up. And so I put together, I had 7 reservations for 8 nights in order to get an 8-night stay there. But that was like way more work than walking, because I literally had to go on every like half hour. I was going on to the website and, oh, is the room open up? And then I would get one night and then I'd have to go back the next, because you'd always have to wait like a day or two after the 11 month mark. Because mm-hmm. you'd have to wait for people to move their reservations. It was a lot of work, but I don't sweat it so much at Animal Kingdom because I have 320 points there. So if I don't get a value room, who cares? But I only have 75 points at Boardwalk. And when they shifted the point totals so that it cost a lot more to go in October, November, which is when we want to go, now all of a sudden I got less points. I bought 75 points thinking if I need to get a pool Lakeview room or a resort room, whatever they're calling it now, preferred, I can do it. Now, suddenly my 75 points that used to give me 5 or 6 nights only gives me 4. If I'm in the preferred rooms. So I kind of want to get the standard room so I can stretch that stay out to 5 nights. It is really something I wish they could do something about, because I said it used to not really be a problem, that big a problem. And it's still not a huge problem. Whatever your home resort is, you can get into. It's not like you can't get a studio at it, but it can be frustrating, as I'm sure other members have seen it too.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but that's enough talking about that.
Yep. Okay. And then so with everything comes a price increase. So there is going to be a direct price increase coming. Starting February 10th, base direct prices are scheduled to increase for most resorts, including Riviera, Fort Wilderness, Polynesian, and Albany. The base price is increasing by $10 to $235 per point. I am like, that's more than triple than what I paid for my, like, yeah, it's just crazy. while the villas at Disneyland Hotel are increasing from 239 to 245. Riviera, I guess, is close to, it's getting closer to selling out Fort Wilderness, which this leads me to believe that the Lakeshore Lodge is going to be added to Fort Wilderness, because I think that's the only way they're going to sell Fort Wilderness. I don't know. Yeah. And I think they did, I didn't see it in our notes, but didn't they say they were going to add some stuff to the Fort Wilderness Resort? I read that somewhere.
I didn't see that. So I didn't include that because I didn't see that. It might be true.
Yeah. So if you heard about that or you read it, let us know in my DVC points community, because I did read that. There wasn't any specifics. They just said that they were, and I think that they've realized they didn't do enough, right? They just, all they did was change the cabins and say, you can own here, right? And they realized that they didn't do. So it sounds like they're probably going to be updating the pool and et cetera, but they weren't specific. I did hear that.
They've sold like 60,000 points total at Fort Wilderness. That's less than a typical month of Riviera sales, right?
It's crazy.
And it's been on sale for 9 months, something like that.
Yeah.
The Fort Wilderness, we've talked about this before. I don't know what they were expecting, but I'm sure they were expecting better than that.
Well, because the cabins are, they're so in demand. Like, it's hard to get a cabin, especially certain times. So I think that they thought that a lot of those things would transfer over. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I think also you have people that are DVC and are like, yeah, but there's nothing else here. Like, there's just a cabin. It's great. Like, it's awesome. But the pool is blah. You need a golf course. So it adds up a lot of stuff. So I think that they thought a lot of those people that do go every year would buy into DVC. And it would open up a new market for DVC. And those people aren't DVC people.
I still think, like, if this was 10, 15 years ago when you could get DVC for $100 to $120 a point, it would have sold like crazy.
Yeah.
But at $235 a point, that's a luxury price. And I'm sorry, Fort Wilderness, even if the cabins are very nice, is not a luxury resort.
No.
You expect almost every, list all these other resorts, Riviera, Polynesian, the villas at Disneyland Hotel.
For sure.
Those are all luxury resorts with luxury accommodations. And Fort Wilderness, you can make the cabins really nice, but once you step outside of the cabins, you're not at a luxury resort. I'm sorry. And I think they misjudged that big time. And I don't know. I think we're both on the same page that their recovery for that is probably
the Lakeshore Lodge. I think that is what recovered. That is why Lakeshore Lodge started, let's do this resort now. When we were there in July, that they gave all the DVC guides, they gave them one night stay in the Fort Wilderness cabins. So I thought that was interesting. They're like, they gave us all, they're like, they don't always do that for all the resorts. And I'm thinking, that's obvious, it's not selling. They're booking because they're still booking them out as cash. So it's not like they're going empty. It's not like the bungalows were a long time they were going empty. They still are being sold as cash. It's
And that probably hurts them too, because, like, as you say, they're trying to appeal to the people that go every year. But if the people who go every year can still do it with cash, why would they plop down, $30,000 or whatever it would take?
Exactly. I think we got one more story.
Yeah, last story. And I don't know how much detail I want to go in on this, only because there's a lot to it. Just because I'm this kind of nerd. Once the Poly Island Tower opened, I wanted to look at, like, okay, they kind of said how many rooms total there were, but they never say out loud, what are the views? How many of each type of room are in each view category, right? I went through some systems. I used touring plans and some other software systems that have descriptions, and you kind of got to go through and look at every room. And so this probably took me a couple hours to put together. I'm going to be posting it on dvchelp.com, which is my website. And if you go to the Poly Island Tower Resort Information page, you can take a look at this. I won't necessarily go through all of it here, but a couple things to know. For the Duo Studios, there are 39 rooms. 28 of the Duo Studios are standard view. There's only 4 preferred and 7 premium of the Duo Studio rooms. So probably your best bet, if you're an owner there, you probably have to be an owner to get one of these, but your best bet is looking at standard view. Same thing, well, not same thing, but Deluxe Studios surprised me a little bit that the standard view is actually the largest category of rooms for the regular studios as well. There's 61. that are available total, 11 of which are part of lock-offs, but still, so 61 standard, only 24 preferred, and then 52 theme park. So it's usually when you get these like standard preferred theme park, the preferred is the largest category. And in this particular case, it's the smallest category. And actually the same thing with the one bedrooms, there's only 12 preferred. I really think a lot of times when you think of these resorts, you think of, okay, the preferred category, that's going to be the easy one to get. In this case, I'm not so sure. I think the theme park view is actually going to be the easiest one to get because there's not quite as many studios as with the standard view. But again, because of the point prices and how expensive the theme park views are, if you think about it, the way they did it is the standard and the preferred are the same point price per night as the longhouses for the standard rooms and Lakeview or whatever. Those are the same. The theme park view rooms are a higher point total than any of the old rooms were. So the theme park view rooms are really, really high. And there's quite a few of them. So I think if you're looking at a 7-month booking, you're probably going to find if anything's available, it's going to be the theme park views because there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of the same thing. As I said, the one bedrooms, there's 25 of the standard. And this includes lock-offs. There's 25 of the standard, 12 of the preferred, and 35 of the theme park. So there's actually more theme park view than there are standard or preferred. And then same thing with the two bedrooms, only 11 standard two bedrooms and 12 preferred two bedrooms. And they're all lock-offs. Two bedroom theme parks, there's 39 of them and 16 of them are dedicated. So again, two bedrooms, you're probably going to find that the theme park view are going to be the ones that are going to be easiest to get at 7 months. I tried to break it down by the three categories and then whether how many of them are lock-offs and how many of them are dedicated. We actually put that for every single resort. So any of the resorts, you can go on there and look at what the different room categories are and how many of them are available. Again, very typically, not surprising, the most popular are the cheapest points. A lot of times the ones that go the first are the ones that have the least availability. So in this case, both for the most part, other than the duo studios, for the most part, the theme park view is not only the most expensive, there's also the most of them. I think you're going to see a lot of 7-month availability for those theme park view rooms because they are very expensive. I don't know if everyone nerds out like I do with things
no,
like that.
No, I think it's good to know because I think, and this is where I use it. If you're going to wait list, if you want to get into a particular resort, right? Personally, I don't like spending money on points or using my points for a view because I don't care about the view. I mean, that's just us. We don't care. When we were at Beach Club 2 weeks, you know, two or 3 weeks ago, we had a view of a bush. It was fine. For us, it's about being at a specific resort. And then we'd rather be ground floor than have a good view. Not everybody's like that. But if I'm looking at, for example, if I wanted to waitlist Boardwalk, I know that waitlisting Boardwalk for, and I just really wanted to stay, we're going to Food and Wine, and I want to stay at Boardwalk. I'm not going to, and I only have one waitlist for, you know, for whatever reason, because you only get two, let's say I have a waitlist for something else. I only can do one wait list. I'm going to wait list the garden pool view or whatever it's called now, because that has the most amount of rooms. So that's where I use this. Like, for example, if I were to put a room for a wait list for Poly, I would do standard. You know, now I would do standard probably anyway, because I'm just cheap when it comes to points.
Yep.
But, you know, if it were flipped and preferred was 61 and the standard was 24, then I might do preferred because it would give me a better chance, especially if it was a trip that I really wanted to go that particular weekend. So I think that's where you use it. Now, if you just want to possibly go one weekend and you want to try and be frugal on points, or you're trying to switch, but you want to, you know, you can only afford so many points, then it doesn't really matter. But it's a matter of which one is going to give you the best chance. And, you know, for that, it's going to be the one that has the most available rooms.
If you're waiting for cancellation, all the rooms are equal because you don't know who's going to cancel what. your best bet for if you're doing a wait list, if you're waiting for someone to cancel, is to pick the whatever one has the most rooms, because that is the most likely for somebody in that bunch of bookings to have to decide to cancel. So yeah, exactly. I 100% agree with that. Yep.
Exactly. So, okay. But I think it's good information.
And so I would still say at the, if you want to stay at the Poly and you don't necessarily care about the Island Tower, where you really should pick is the longhouses.
Yeah. Because
there's the longhouse standard view. There's 300 of them. That one's going to be the most likely to come open. We've only stayed there a couple times, but I do have to say anytime we've waitlisted there, it has come through because there's just so many of the room.
Exactly. Yeah. Same with us.
I'd love to check out the tower, and we're 50-50 right now, but we have two nights in one of those few premium duo studios. And, you know, I was online asking some people about that. It's like, why are these duo studios premium versus the regular deluxe studios and the one bedroom, say theme park view? And someone posted a view that they had already stayed in the duo. They're on the lakeside towards the theme park, but like they're right in kind of a corner where the walls from the other two sides extend out. So you kind of look straight out into the lake, but you can't see the theme park. So that's why the duo studio top category is just called premium instead of theme park. You're not going to be able to watch the fireworks from your duo studio premium, whereas the theme park view rooms you can. Yeah, we have two nights in April, and I actually was already able to get flights, and I got direct flights, and it's just over $200 round trip, which is about as cheap as we can get to Florida. We're debating because just to check out the resort. We won't have park tickets. We're not renewing our annual pass till October. I don't know. We're 50-50 right now. We got the flights booked on Southwest, but they're booked with points, so we can cancel. We can still cancel the room. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's kind of like where we're at because we want to stay. But I mean, all the weekends that we can go, it's already booked. I have a wait list, but I have wait list for July 4th. So that's probably not coming through. But
yeah, hard to say. Yeah.
But I mean, we've always, July 4th falls on a Friday this year. So if we could, this would be a year that we could go. You know, we're going to try, but we don't have annual passes right now. So it would be just a resort stay, which if I want to do a resort stay, I want to do it at the new tower. Yeah.
That's what we would basically do is we would go down, fly down Saturday morning, fly back Monday night, only have to take one day off from work and get 3 days basically at the tower and check out the new restaurant, the pool, still watch the fireworks from the beach, but we basically stay at the resort. The other thing is crazy expensive. It's 60 points for two nights.
Yeah.
In a duo.
Yeah, well, the Poly has gotten significantly more than Grand Floridian because I think they offset it. They had to do that with the bungalows. They had to reduce the bungalows because they weren't renting. So the Poly is more because I had the Poly and then I was waitlisting Grand Floridian and Beach Club. Beach Club finally came through, but Grand Floridian was still less than our standard room at Poly. Yeah.
Wow. So. Yeah. It is expensive and the theme park and the duo studio premium is like the theme park rate, but you don't actually get to see the theme park. If you look at those theme park rates in that tower and looking at this list, there's quite a few theme park view rooms. They're charging a super premium for those, even more than I think. Maybe it's on par with the theme park view rooms at the Grand Flow, but the Grand Flow, there's only a few of them, right? It's just the one end of Big Pine Key. That's right. Actual theme park view. So there aren't a lot of rooms. Here, there's a lot of rooms and Mega Point. They're getting their premium.
Yep, for sure. Absolutely. Well, that is it for today's episode. We want to give a shout out to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monero Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. I also do want to add, I did post a video, probably not worth it for this year, but if you are looking and thinking about attending either of the parties next year, Jollywood Nights or the Christmas party, I did do a video comparing the two and our experiences, and we did go back to back. The best part of that video is honestly Ryder, me interviewing him at the end and him giving his thoughts on which one was better. Definitely, if you're interested in attending either of those parties next year and you have kids, or if you don't, you want to know what our experience was, you can definitely check that out.
Yeah, that's a neat video.
Yeah, thanks. It was fun. Ryder definitely steals the show every time he's in my videos. But with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Happy holidays.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.